Canes fans, what a win. Miami beats FSU. We cover it all. We have Mama Hayes, two special guests come in for a great segment. And we look ahead to a Louisville game. Go Canes. Hayes, that was a lot of fun to go to.
Couldn't have been better.
We go down to Tallahassee. You come up to Tallahassee, and we get a huge W against the much-hated Florida State Seminoles.
That couldn't have been a better day. Everything about it was terrific.
It was great. The weather was wonderful. It wasn't a noon kickoff. It wasn't an 8 p.m. kickoff. We had some good food. I saw two of my good friends that most of us will hear from later here in this podcast. A little hint there. We're going a little backwards in time with this podcast too. So enjoy and follow along. But Mama Hayes, one, you can welcome the Canes fans in. And then after that, I know there's somebody you're itching to talk about, so I want to get out of the way and let you talk about them.
Well, welcome, happy Canes fans. Oh my gosh, we've waited all season for this game, and it was thrilling. It was absolutely thrilling. So hopefully we can smile the rest of the season, but that's for later on in the podcast. Oh, do I want to talk about Greg Rousseau?
That was a guess by me, but you know, I'll let you keep going.
Oh my God, he is fabulous. He's absolutely fabulous, and I have to give him credit. He had two recognitions this week. One is the Walter Camp National Defensive Player of the Week, and the other is the ACC Defensive Lineman of the Week. Good for Greg Rousseau. I couldn't have happened to a nice guy. But the thing is, why didn't we start him at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, that's covered a little bit later on some people getting things off their chest. But again, it's frustrating. As I always say, I feel like in these podcasts now about frustration, that he didn't start at the beginning of the year, that it took him until, you know, almost a third of the season go by to be in these games. I mean, it's not like it all of a sudden clicked in week 4 or 5 for him and he got it. He was like that before, but instead of getting him on the field in these, you know, important Florida games, this UNC game, I mean, imagine if he was in that Florida game, that UNC. But we can do that podcast another time. He balled out.
Well, related to that is, the four losses have been by an aggregate total of 21 points. We've talked about how close those games were. If Rousseau had been in most of those games, he was in the Georgia Tech loss, wasn't he?
I believe so. But again, I mean, he was just coming into his own there. Imagine if he was already into his own and playing that well. He looks the part. He plays the part. He's the best defensive player behind Chase Young, I believe is his first name, at Ohio State, who is unbelievable and is supposed to be a top draft pick. We are super lucky that he has another year that he has to play, and we get another year of production out of him because he is an absolute animal.
Excuse me. He is that highly rated, and we didn't start him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
I'm speechless.
Well, I didn't know you were going to go there with this one. I thought we were going to talk about how much fun the Florida State game was.
Well, okay, let's go back to that.
So yes, it is one of those we can live in that past, and we will for sure, of how different this season could be, and hopefully a stepping stone for Manny Diaz to learn as a head coach. But hey, give credit to actually the coaching staff this week. It was the most prepared we've seen this team top to bottom since any game this season. Really, actually, probably since the Florida game. The defense knew what they were doing the entire game. The offense, other than some screens over and over again, played really well. And DJ Dallas, I mean, he is a leader of this team. He might not have shown up in the box score, but the things that he was doing, watching him play from the stands, picking up pass protection and things like that, I mean, hopefully Rousseau keeps going and DJ Dallas keeps going, because those guys are going to be big leaders on this team the rest of the way out.
Well, they sure are. I was just shocked to watch them the first couple drives. And when they scored the touchdown, that whole drive, I was like, oh my God, they can't do this the whole game. And they did.
Yeah.
They did. They just got better and better.
They did. And that's what's nice to see, is you see that improvement now, you know, building off a win against Pittsburgh on the road to coming into dominating Florida State throughout. And we get into this more later, but, you know, they could have put that game away even earlier. They could have won that game by, you know, 35-10 or so. But instead, you know, there were still some missed opportunities, and you can fault them for that. In the third quarter, which, again, you know, it's a little bit of that, okay, this offense is still not exactly there yet, but hey, you know, they came out, they play, and defensively, other than one drive, I mean, they bottled up Florida State, and that only drive was a crazy wildcat that Cam Akers had to be the quarterback. So, again, great job by the Canes coming out and doing so well. Again, we're going to go a little bit back in time here, because the next segment was recorded before this news came out, but the Canes played so well that Florida State has now fired their head coach, Willie Taggart.
Well, I mean, I thought it was amusing, the fellows that were sitting behind us, they were so nice. I think there were a lot of things I enjoyed about the game, one of which was that I swore 9 years ago, I swore I would never go to another FSU Miami game because it was so brutal. That, you know, the guy that got knocked out in the stands in front of us,
yep,
and had to be carried out. And I mean, you're scared for what's going to happen. And even as an older person, I was worried about my safety. And I thought, okay, this is going to be crazy, but I'm gonna go one more time. And they couldn't have been nicer fellows. And I don't know if you heard the conversation, but the two guys were saying, well, we really hope that you guys run up the score because we want to get rid of Taggart.
Yeah. That was definitely the vibe we got in Tallahassee, was that they were ready to move on from Taggart, and that loss definitely did it. He did not have much support. Kirk Herbstreit came out with a pretty damning video on Saturday evening that then made the rounds by Sunday night. And I think one of the reasons Taggart got fired, because he was talking about how much of an embarrassment Florida State is and how much of in disarray that program is and how far it's fallen since the Bobby Bowden era. Now, I will say this, Taggart, I don't think, got a full fair shake. I know I was a huge fan and hoped that he stayed for many years because I didn't think he was ever a great coach. I'm never a huge fan of a coach only getting a year and a half. I also think Jimbo Fisher is the one that gets to skate off pretty easy here, because he was the guy that left a lot of these players behind and, you know, was the reason that this program was in pretty disarray. And he's now at Texas A&M as a second-year head coach there, making tons of money. So it's one of those where, yes, I never thought Willie Taggart was a great head coach, but Jimbo Fisher got off pretty easy here in all of this. And I don't think that can be overlooked.
No, I don't think so either. There's a lot of facets to this that don't smell right.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And in the Miami perspective, it's a little too bad, because that win gives us a great chance to look better in recruiting. It gives Manny Diaz the chance to show, especially if Willie Taggart was coming back, to show that he was more prepared and a better coach than Willie Taggart. and I think would have been huge in winning the in-state battle of recruiting when it comes against Florida State. But that's going to hurt now with him leaving and whatever coach they bring in. And because they did so early, they're going to find a coach a lot sooner than we did in our last recruiting effort.
And, oh, gee, there's some talk about the coaches that might be available.
Yes. Lane Kiffin, I think he threw his name out there, but I don't think he's it. Bob Stoops has been reported to be linked to the job. It'll be interesting where it shakes out. You know, I doubt they make a decision here in a week. It usually takes some more time, and they have the time to do it as well. You never know which, impressive coordinator is going to be coming in here soon to all of a sudden show up in the next month of college football. That might be the hot name. So Florida State, though, out of head coach. Miami gets a huge win. And after this segment, I got a little special segment with some new guests coming in, giving their thoughts on the Canes program and their trip to Tallahassee. So Mama Hayes will be back right after this. Mixing it up a little bit here. We're doing our best form of carpool karaoke, where we have James Rohal and Rob Adair sitting in as we drive back from the Florida State game. Boys, what a game.
It's a good one.
Hell yeah, I can't believe it. I did not expect that W coming out of that city.
I didn't expect that ass whooping coming out. Sorry, I already messed up the family friendly thing.
That's all right, Rob. We'll bleep it out later. No problem.
The bleep whooping, 17-point win. Did not expect that.
Largest win against Florida State since 2001, and especially in a season where, other than that Bethune-Cookman game, all of our games have been one-game scores. So definitely a surprise on the road at Florida State to give that bleep whooping, as Rob would say.
Let's not put it lightly. This is three straight wins for Miami over FSU. Those seniors, that's freaking fantastic.
Yeah, Quarterman, it was really fun to watch him at the end of the game. He was soaking it up. He was going up to the crowd. He would not leave that field just to celebrate and enjoy that. You know, pretty good for him to go 3-1 in his career. And this, like you said, with the seniors and all that, and keeps building good momentum for us against Florida State. So I think the team did a great job. We'll get into the defense in a little bit, but offensively, one of the reasons that we were able to put on that bleep whooping was we were able to throw the ball downfield more, and it was good to see it from Jaren Williams finally.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? That's a good take, Rob.
I mean, what a concept. I mean, they played most of the game with very little safety help, and you just keep running screens that go nowhere. Eventually, it just didn't work. You got to go downfield. You got to exploit what the defense is giving you, and they finally did that on a handful of plays that worked out and scored.
They were pretty wide open on that. That Jeff Thomas play, he was wide open, and it was
Wiggins
nice.
Was wide open, too.
Yeah, that Wiggins play, he was wide open. Again, there was no safety help. I don't know what Florida State was doing there. We can get into that dumpster fire of a program in a little bit. And thank God we're not them. But, man, did they do a good job. And it's good to see Williams, as Rob has said on the way down, as you guys didn't hear this yet. But Williams reminds us, and I've talked about it a lot, he's kind of got that noodle arm under throws, you know, where Perry overthrows. And, hey, both those throws are right on the receiver.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think there was a lot of good throws. At the same time, though, I don't want to pat him on the back too much. There was definitely a few questionable. I want to say that there was a few that were just right across the center of the field that were, like, directly into the hands of a Florida State defender. Luckily, our guys were there to kind of swat it down. So I like to see him continue to kind of keep maturing. I thought this was a good game for him to kind of grow into that, but he's still got some growth to do. But huge potential, huge future for that guy. Happy to see him growing up.
I'll say, guy's got to work on throwing on the run. He made some poor throws and some poor decisions when he was forced to do that, even when it was a designed scramble. Man, he did not look good throwing, and he threw across his shoulder, like across his body, across the field, and damn near got intercepted. It was awful.
Yeah, that was the two plays I think about is that you're saying, Rob, where he rolled to his left, tried to throw back, pretty much gave Florida State an easy interception, but luckily Florida State dropped it. The other one was in the third quarter when he scrambled out to his left, had Wiggins wide open at the like 4 yard line and overthrew Wiggins, who's a tall dude.
By a mile.
Like all he had to do was hit Wiggins in the chest or even just above his head, and Wiggins easily walks in there, and that game's over earlier than it what happened in this game. And that's where you really got to see the improvement. It's good to see him improve that throwing the ball down the field, but man, he needs to work on his scramble drills and do a better job of making better decisions than trying to force the ball.
Yeah, I think it's that, and the one other area just to critique a little bit more is really just in the red zone. I really want to see the team start to close those out and get that percentage up. Still several times, and you know, with our kicking situation, boy, you just cringe when you get down. Get down there in that red zone, we just don't get it in, and then you kind of miss a field goal or something. Really just shifts that momentum back. So, you know, again, a lot of good stuff. Still a little bit to work on though.
Yeah, I didn't watch a single field goal yesterday. I would turn around and face the other way. So I think that's bringing some good luck because we only missed one field goal. But yeah, the only way I found out is if the people behind me started cheering in our section. So yeah.
It is official. Every single kicker has now missed a field goal.
Yeah, I think it was 7-14 on kicking, but that's something we can focus on another time. But man, did we come out well offensively? You know, DJ, you know, while we didn't get as much of the run game as we wanted, we did pick up big plays at the end of the game to seal it out. That's a good, you know, good job by the offensive line that's struggled so much this year on trying to get the ball moving. And even then, I think there was a couple sacks by our team, and I would like to look at it again, but it just felt that it was more on Williams not getting rid of the ball than it really was on the offensive line. So good to see them step up and hopefully keep improving because we have known and been well documented the struggles that they've done, especially in the pass game protection.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that was a lot of the hype coming into this one, too, is all I read about was how good Florida State's defensive line was compared to our O-line. That they were just going to get manhandled and worked over. And I got to say, they really stepped up to that plate. They gave some time. I think for the most part, I agree with you. It's really, I'd like to see Williams maybe throw it away a little quicker when there's nothing there. But other than that, pretty good.
Yeah, I think we got to give DJ Dallas a little bit of credit there on his blocking, too. He did phenomenal in pass protection yesterday.
Yeah, there was a play we were watching, the Wiggins play, actually, where there was a free linebacker coming right at Williams, and DJ picked him up. Rob and I both grabbed each other like, oh my gosh, Williams is about to get crushed. Picked him up perfectly, great protection, and was able then to obviously deliver the ball to Wiggins for the game-sealing touchdown. The last area that we talked about, guys, was, man, while we ended up winning the game by 17 points, it was. It could have been a lot sooner that we took control of that game. We had the ball consistently around midfield or in their territory in the third quarter to just punch it in and probably win this game like 35-10. But instead, 19 total yards in the third quarter. You can still see the struggles on that, and kind of want to get your guys' thoughts of, you know, what we're doing there and where we can get better. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, you know, it's again, I feel like we're... I'm not sure if we're just not making the adjustments or we're trying to make adjustments, but it feels like, man, we just come out and I don't know, we just doesn't get that ball moving. We just not committed to something. We're still trying different things out. I'm getting a little frustrated with the, you know, the overabundance of screen plays. Other than that, I feel like the calls were really just for DJ up the middle. And then in a game like this, where you're going up against a good D-line, there just really wasn't a whole lot there. I think DJ averaged, either like 2.5 or 2.9 yards a carry, which is really low for that guy. So you know that, like, there's just not a whole lot there that you're going to be able to take advantage of. So again, I'd like to see a little more different change of adjustments, go over the top more. And I think they finally did that in the fourth, but we got to get there a little quicker, especially at halftime.
Rob, talk about your favorite play call of how we run the ball into the boundary.
My favorite is every time we seem to be on one side, one hash or the other. Love running stretch plays to the short side. Ugh. It does not work. It has not worked once. Just stop. We talk about getting our playmakers in space, and doing that on the short side of the field every single time is brutal to watch as a fan.
It's tough, but hey, look at that. The offense scores 27 points. Love to have seen this a little bit more during the season with that offense, getting big plays down the field. I think we're really good at that, and that's where our strength has always been as a team because the athletes we have. Good to see them finally using it. Unfortunately, it's coming in week 9 instead of, you know, week 2. So, but good improvement. Love to see the offense. Defense, though, my gosh, did they put it on yesterday. That was a showing. They came to play.
Ooh, putting some hurt on.
We talked already a little bit. Mama Hayes gave you your thoughts on Greg Rousseau and the animal game that he have. But, man, other guys stepped up, too. James, you were impressed by the secondary.
Secondary really stepping up. I think there was one of the receivers, I forget his name, on Florida State, who was all over the internet trolling us all week, talking big game. We kept him to 4 receptions, shutting him down. And then, just really secondary over the top. I'm really sad about Bob Bolden getting that pick and then ultimately hurting himself on the celebration. But the secondary really not giving him a ton of looks. I think all around defense really stepping up. Pressure on the quarterback, pressure over the top, good coverage in the secondary, just allowing it to work. And I think, as Manny said in the post game, this is really like the first time we had 9 guys in that rotation up in the box. And that just really kept everybody fresh, kept that pressure on. And it was good to see that all come together. I think we've had a lot of injuries and other things throughout it, and I feel like they're starting to hit that stride.
Yeah, and the safety help, too, of Gervin Hall, who thankfully did not get ejected because at that point we would have been out both of our starting safeties. He played a great game, great pass breakup, and then ended with the game-sealing interception where he probably could have just knocked it down and we would have been there. But, hey, let's get that swag and turnover chain on. And the other unsung hero a little bit is Robert Knowles stepping in at safety. 4 tackles, and he had a huge pass breakup where he just played a great he took a great angle on the ball, knocked it out of the receiver or out of the path of the receiver, which was huge. It just was great to see them. DJ Ivy, again, bouncing back and having a good second game in a row. While he didn't do as much stat-wise interception, did a great job. And Trajan Bandy, I think, had one of – he's starting to finally hit his stride again this season and had a very good, consistent game. Rob, you're impressed by kind of the linebacking core and then obviously the front four up there putting pressure on Hornibrook all day. Talk about that and then again how worried you were about Cam Akers and what they did there.
So first off, super worried about Cam Akers. That dude is such a waste of talent behind that offensive line. Good God. I thought he was going to go for 200 because he just makes a lot out of nothing. But kudos to the front 7 there, just bottling him up all day long. Aside from when they came out in the second half running the wildcat with him in there, and they actually let him throw the ball, which I'd love to see DJ Dallas do every once in a while. That'll be more my rant section of this. But really impressed. It's tough to bottle up a guy like that and make Hornibrook make him beat you with your arm. And I think it was Manny Diaz said in his press conference, it was nice to play a stationary target. I chuckled at.
Yeah, it's nice to – we do a good job against the not as well as scrambling quarterbacks. But that said, too, you know, impressive. Hornibrook, you know, 2 years ago tore us up for 4 touchdowns when he was at Wisconsin. So good to get some revenge against him and make it a lot harder on him and actually forcing Willie Taggart to put Blackman in the game there. It was good to see – you know, the pressure, it was there all game coming from so many different places. I mean, 9 sacks, that's incredible. And obviously, you know, Rousseau doing it, everything that he does. And he has 12 sacks right now, which is close to the single season record. And he's only started 4 games.
Tied for fourth.
That's pretty incredible. So, you know, again, great to see the defense. It's good to see the team kind of coming together after what was a very tough stretch for about 3 to 4 weeks here. Put 2 consistent games in a row and hopefully can do it again this coming weekend against the Louisville team, which Mama Hayes and I are previewing here in a little bit. But this is a new segment that we're doing, maybe for once or 20 times, we'll see. And we're going to come up with some great imaging. But here we go. We call these Rob Rants. Here we go, James. Ready? Do-do-do-do. Rob Rants. Do-do-do-do. Rob Rants. Do-do-do-do. Rob Rants. Rob, take it away.
What's wrong with you? All right. So on the football side of things, again, we've Chris and Mama Hayes have talked about this for way too many weeks. The play calling, so many screens that just don't always work. The screen game works when it's a surprise. DJ Dallas had one great one out of the backfield, took it for a nice gain, but aside from that, fairly ineffective. Would love to see getting some more quick throws out. I think the only really knock on Williams holding the ball too long was on when he got stripped, and that was really it. He did a pretty great job all day, aside from that one play. And then, let's see, already talked about the stretch play into the boundary. That's always fun to watch. And just really a lack of creativity. I love the ability to run the Wildcat. I would love to see Martell get a little bit more of a look there. I'd love to see DJ Dallas actually throw the ball every once in a while. I feel like the Wildcat loses a little something if you don't have that threat. As we saw with Cam Akers, he did that a couple times, and it was really successful because particularly when he threw it to Hornibrook, because the corner that was covering Hornibrook had no idea what to do. They didn't know if he was going to throw the ball or run with the ball, and he did both and burned us a couple times. But aside from that one long touchdown drive, it really, really held up, figured it out after that. And then on the non-football side, this was my first time in Tallahassee. And I was not overly impressed with the atmosphere. Probably had a lot to do with our combined 8-8 record. There was just not a lot of venom, not a lot of hatred, not a lot of great witty, you know, insults, a lot of F you, and that's about all that we got. We kept running into the same guy over and over again, and we just say, hey, F you, and we're just like, good one, buddy. And then just the general, whoever's running the scoreboard and the general game day atmosphere in Tallahassee needs to be canned immediately. That was brutal to listen to and watch. It was awful. Did like the Burt Reynolds tribute, but other than that, that's about it. Oh, also, this isn't a rant, but Chris Hayes got us some tickets smack dab in between the two bands. And big shout out to the Band of the Hour. They rocked it. They got under the skin of the Seminole band in their face all day. Every time they started up the war chant, the band director got them fired up and was doing some dancing and just completely drowned them out. It was great to watch.
And that's why you come here for this podcast. It's good band talk. Thank you, Rob Adair. That is a segment of Rob Rants. We're also introducing another segment here. It's James gives you a review on where he just traveled. So,
James travels.
James travels. So, James, Rob touched a little bit on the Tallahassee game day experience. Overall thoughts on your trip to Tallahassee and your overall feeling of maybe coming back at some point.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Hold on, I got some imaging. James travels. He's traveling. Traveling to places and watching football. Football,
love it, man. Yeah, I mean, I definitely, so, you know, firstly, I live out in Seattle, so I'm a big traveler across the country to come see as many Miami games as I can. And I, you know, I always try to get back to a home game, but I really enjoy.
Well, we thought you were the furthest one away, and we ran into somebody that came from Alaska.
Yeah, believe it or not, that guy, he outed me. This is the first time I've been out in a while. Somebody out-traveled me all the way from Alaska. Kudos to that guy. Big shout out.
Big shout out to Alaskan guy.
Alaska. Yeah, let's get some more Canes fans up in Alaska and the West Coast. Hit me up.
hit them up.
Though, like, I always love to go on the road. I love to just kind of get a taste of a new area, you know, meet some of the fans, kind of, you know, maybe make some friends, make some new enemies, what have you. But, you know, just kind of get exposed to a little bit of some different stuff. We had a great time, I think, some years ago up in Clemson and a few other places. And so, you know, I sort of had some expectations along that line. And I got to say, along the lines with Rob, I was a little underwhelmed. Firstly, you know, crossing in the state line here into Tallahassee, the city as a whole, I was expecting a bit more. I would call it a little bit on the southern architecture, but more on the quaint side. Kind of a cute little town, but I was expecting a little more of a city, and that wasn't really the vibe I got. And then kind of doubling into that, I was expecting, you know, for me, I kind of looked at this as getting into behind enemy lines and going into that seminal kind of war zone. And surprisingly, I feel like we came out without any scratches or nicks or anything. Expecting a lot more. There, of course, you know, there was the typical F Miami chance, and that was really all they had. That along with the upside down U's. One thing I will say to Tallahassee's fans is, you know, let's keep it a little classy when these kids get injured. All right, no need to be chanting the FUs during that time. Other than that, go for it. But let's remember these guys are young men, kids on the field. Let's keep it cool. But Tallahassee as a whole. Just an okay. I don't know that I would go out of my way to come back.
What's your rankings? So you have just okay.
I think as a place to go see a game, if this was not a Miami FSU game, I'd put it in the bottom third of a not worth the effort to come to. But for a big rivalry game, I could see maybe either if you're a Gator fan and you want to check out your enemy's stadium, maybe making that trek, or Canes. Outside of that, though, I don't think it's really worth the effort. Stadium was interesting, but nothing overly impressive.
I want to come back when both teams are good.
Yeah.
I feel like the 4-4 records really took a lot out of both fan bases.
Yeah, I would agree. I will, as a shout-out to the Canes fan base, there was a lot of orange and green. I think we had a good, like, little corner wedge section of the stadium. The band got everybody hyped. Again, some more band talk.
Love band talk, guys.
I really feel like it worked, and the fans were really good. A lot of chants, a lot of good Cane talk. Big celebrations. I loved late in the game the defensive noise level kind of coming up. So it was great to see that in an away stadium. Always happy to see that. But yeah, just to kind of wrap it up, I think Tallahassee, just an okay. Again, agree with Rob, maybe it'd be interesting with a bigger game. You know, if both teams were undefeated, it would be much more heated. And the last piece I'll leave you with is I was impressed with the student housing area being so close to everything and the patio game.
Yeah.
All these big apartments, big spacious patios. That would be the one thing I'd be a little jealous of comparing to the Miami housing. Nice patio game.
Patio game was amazing. Just massive patios, had fans, people having a good time. Oh my gosh, I was so jealous of that. Quick hitters, favorite restaurant we went to?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Brass Tap. I really like that bar we hit the first night.
Nice. Next one. What was your favorite meal you had? What'd you eat?
Favorite meal. I'm going to say that cantina place that we went to in College Town. I got the cowboy skillet. It was very wonderful. Good after a night of drinking and good to set a base before a game.
And then finally, which beer was your favorite that you drank?
I'm going to say the 850. I think it's the Proof 850. The APA, American Pale Ale. Pretty good for a local beer. Would recommend.
All right, there you go. So if you're in Tallahassee, we recommend all of that. Remember, go check out the porches. They are phenomenal.
Can I add to my rant here for a second?
Sure, you can, Rob. This is how podcasts really go smoothly.
One thing James did not mention about the stadium is their stupid beer policy. They have two little pens in the entire stadium that sell beer. It was a disaster.
I agree. It was a joke. Just don't serve alcohol. Don't get my hopes up. It was impossible to get a beer in that stadium. Get it together, guys.
All right. So we bounce back and forth between the two segments. All right, guys. While we go to wrap this segment up here, let's talk about our expectations and kind of what your guys' feelings are about the program here for the last three games. Not more of the offseason, but let's really just focus on the last three games, what you hope to see, and then what you expect to see. Rob, start us off.
I hope to see three W's. I haven't watched much Louisville play this year, but they seem to be a lot better than people thought they were going to be. And then you got FIU and Duke, who should be wins every year, but we all know how that's been going lately. So hope is for three wins, get to an okay bowl game, and show up there. Expectation, I have just still don't have a ton of faith in this team. Two games haven't really proved a whole hell of a lot to me. I think we probably drop at least one of them, but hoping I'm wrong.
All right, James, anything to add on to that or anything new you want to bring in?
Agree with that. I will be down at the FIU games, looking forward to that with the family down there at the Marlins Park. That'll be interesting just to see. I'm hoping for three W's, but again, a little worried we're going to drop one. And I just really hope we don't drop more than that. On top of that, I will say we still have a shot in the Coastal. I can't believe it. The ACC Coastal is just a total disaster with randomness this year. So hoping for a UVA, Pitt, and UNC just lose the hell out. And somehow we sneak in and we get an ass whooping by, oh damn it, a bleep whooping by Clemson.
Yes, I can't wait for that bleep whooping that we're going to take from Clemson if we do make it. Not sure if we want to make it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to make it.
Yeah, but anyway, it would be good, especially, you know, how bad the season has started, to end on a positive note, making and winning the Coastal. You know, again, Manny takes a good step forward, definitely over a program in Florida State that you see to be just as much of a problem. Willie Taggart is not well liked in that city. We kind of got that feeling from fans walking around, just kind of a lot of confirmation that we felt for a while watching it from a distance. But being in there, you can tell he might be on the way out. It's too bad. We love to see him stay as long as possible. Some good We Love Willie chants by the Canes fans to end the game, and I agree with that. I think the longer he stays there, the better for our program. But man, talk about being unprepared. Talk about we talk about the lack of discipline we have, the amount of penalties they started out with. You know, they had their own issues at home getting going, and we've seen that a lot from that Florida State team. So, man, gosh darn, I'm happy we won that game, and I can finally say that and have the relief of knowing that we're not Florida State and they look in a much more disarray than we do. And especially, you look at the two coaches, yes, Manny's having his issues, but you can at least say it's Manny's first time being a head coach. Willie Taggart's approaching almost over 10 years now of being a head coach, and he still is making the same decisions a new head coach would make. So great to see. Hope to see him stay. Maybe they can win one or two games, surprise everyone. But if they didn't make a bowl game for the second year in a row, we would not be unhappy about that. But I think we can get one more win to get bowl eligible. We're close. That's a huge step forward. But anyway, all right, this is the end of our little carpool karaoke podcast situation. A little bit longer, and we'll get back to Mama Hayes reviewing the Louisville game with us.
Go Canes.
To the FSU punter for all the good field position that he gave us. But I'm not going to do that. But I will recognize his name, Tommy Martin. Thank you, Tommy Martin. I should give the Rotten Tomatoes Award to Bubba Bolden for the bonehead move that he made in his celebration. And I realize that you guys get really excited out there on the field, but out for the rest of the season, not an award-winning move.
Yeah, that wasn't really his fault, though, either. It was also the, I think it was at Garvin Hall. That was a little friendly fire. Yeah, yes. That's just, I was frustrated. I thought all of a sudden everything was going to go in the tank. But anyway, keep moving.
Okay, so I am going to give the red beans and rice to Wiggins because he made his first touchdown. You know, we've already said Dallas is on, he's on the weekly reward list, right? So I'm not even going to mention him anymore. And Thomas, he already received an award, so I really want to recognize Wiggins for that first touchdown.
And again, that's D. Wiggins of the University of Miami receiver. So we get his first name, too.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
Absolutely.
The other one was tough. And what I decided is I'm going to make a multiple batch of muffins, and I'm going to give them to Williams and the O-line. And not that I couldn't identify a stellar performance. I just was so pleased that they finally stepped up. They finally looked like they were learning some moves and plays, and it was just great to see.
Recap Florida State and a lot here. We've had you, we've had two guests in, thanks to Robin James. We've given out awards, but here we go, back into more ACC. Not that we left the ACC at Florida State, but ACC games continue here with another one against Louisville coming up here on Saturday.
There's so many what-if projections about what could happen so that we would go to the ACC championship. I think that that's pretty remote possibility. So, you know, let's just look realistically at the last two ACC games that we have.
Exactly. We need to focus on just winning this game first. And we've done that so much of scoreboard watching. We've got to go Louisville right here and only worry about Louisville.
Well, they've been inconsistent just like everybody else in the Coastal Division. They beat Virginia. That was a surprise, to say the least. That was an understatement, wasn't it, Mama Hayes? But their statistics would say that we could beat them easily.
Yes. And again, this is one where I think just talent-wise, you know, we have the better team, and you know, there's no other great athletes on their team. This is a team that's got a new head coach again. They've definitely been above expectations right now, sitting at 5-3 with the new head coach. You know, I've watched some of their games, and they're still, you know, trying to figure out some of the new offense, but they're figuring out, you know, which players are working in this system, which players that they like, and that can lead to some trouble, especially since we're well known for not doing well at home this year.
Yeah, and this could be one of those letdown games after a big win. I'm going to choose to be optimistic about this. I think that we pulled so much together in the FSU game that hadn't been pulled together in the season up to this point, that it's going to give the team confidence.
Yeah, I hope, you know, this is where it's a great opportunity to show that the coaching staff has taken a step forward in developing these guys, coming out with a good game plan, getting these guys engaged in a game that is not as intense as the Florida State game is. That being said, Louisville has always been a kind of pain in our rear end, especially the last 15 years or so. They I think have a win streak against us right now of two or three games, and always have been a pretty good little heated rivalry. A lot of guys come from the South Florida area to Louisville, and it's always been one that's been heated as a game. And you know, just because these teams don't play anymore, I can see Louisville coming in trying to prove something in the same way that Georgia Tech did. So I, while I want to have your optimism, and still a little nervous.
Well, what do you think? What's your prediction?
Well, not prediction-wise yet, but I do know that we need to watch out for Javian Hawkins. He is the running back that has been very good for Florida State. We were able to hold Cam Akers. If they come out with the same focus and swarm to the ball, there's no reason they can't stop Hawkins. He did have some good games, though. He ran for 172 against Boston College. Even though they lost this game, he ran for 129 against Clemson. And last week, he ran for 136 against Virginia. He's what makes that offensive run. They've got to stop him. They don't stop him. They have a letdown because he's not Cam Akers. It could be that Cam Akers game we were expecting this past weekend, but with a guy that's not Cam Akers. He's definitely going to be a threat for us, and they've been bouncing around at quarterback a little bit as well, you know, using different quarterbacks and figuring out what's going to be the right fit. Mikael Cunningham is the guy that they've been going to. Good thrower, good athlete, has been doing a good job of, you know, figuring out this offense and becoming a leader on this team. I just get worried about the mobile quarterbacks out there that are great athletes and can throw the ball, because we've struggled against them and made those guys look like Heisman winners.
Great review. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
If the Canes can stop the running game and they can make Cunningham throw the ball, they win this game easily. That's the key. If they can do that, they've got this game. They'll be fine. They'll create turnovers, and I think they could have a great game at home. If they let Hawkins get going and Cunningham get going with their legs, we're going to be in a fight again, and it would be nice to be at home and take care of business against an ACC team. So,
isn't it homecoming?
Yes.
It's homecoming, and it's senior. It has to be the senior game.
Yes, it's also the senior game. I hope to see the change. I want to believe in the change. I've been suckered so many times, though. And since we're on a bit of a streak of picking the Canes to lose and them surprising us, I might be going a different way.
Okay, well, that brings us to, who are you going to pick?
All right, well, I hate to say this, and I also say this with a little tongue-in-cheek, but they have yet to show me all season at home that the Canes can come out and play a full game. I will believe it when I see it. But I'm not going to get suckered in once again, only to be let down and frustrated on Saturday afternoon. So I'm going to say that the Canes lose a heartbreaker by 1 point.
Well, being the eternal optimist that I am, even though I picked them to lose the last two games and they've won, this time I am going to pick them to win.
Oh, boy.
I know. This is dangerous. I hope that doesn't jinx the situation. I don't think it's going to be an easy win, but I think they're going to pull it out.
I hope so, but until they prove me wrong here consistently.
I understand, and I feel your pain.
I'm a little nervous since, you know, we went 2-0 when we both picked against them, you know, but all right. I guess you're messing with the mojo.
I am. I'm not picking
him
to win by more than a touchdown.
Okay. All right, so you expect a close game as well. All right, well, we'll find out what happens Saturday. Okay, that will do it for another episode of Walking On with Chris Hayes here. It was a fully packed episode again. Mama Hayes and I had a blast in Tallahassee. Obviously, it helps to win. We'd like to thank Rob and James for being a part of the podcast and giving their thoughts on the program and James's information on where to eat and where to go and the best spots in Tallahassee. All right, Mom, you ready?
I am so ready. Boy, I mean, we were there. We did this.
Yes,
we did it.
We did do it. It was all of us, you know, and not just the guys playing. It was all of us. Am I right?
I was just so thrilled after the game, not just because we lost. I mean, won.
Whoops.
I'm sorry. Not just because we won, but to watch those players. The players were so excited, and they were in the stands. They were walking along the front of the stands. They were shaking hands. They were just so happy, and I was happy for them.
Me too. It was great to see. And hey, you're 2-0 at Florida State game, so we might have to send you back up there in 2 years.
Maybe I'll have to do that, yep.
So there you go. All right, let's break it down, Mom, and get everyone out so they can go enjoy this Louisville game this weekend. Ready?
Okay.
C-A-N-E-S, Canes. Woo! All right, that does it. That's another episode of Walking On with Chris Hayes. As always and forever will be Chris Hayes, and that is Mama Hayes.
Go Canes, out again.